lives, healthy pregnancies, healthy families, whether you're lesbian, whether you're gay, whether you're single, that you should be able to adopt, you know, and have children, that all parents, regardless of their sexuality, their income, their ethnicity, their immigration, that they have the means to educate and care for their children, that the environment is sound, you know, to raise children in, that you can help people have the right not to have children, and that we can educate people for healthy lives. We've been on the defensive for, we won, you know, allegedly in 1973 and allegedly in 1992. You know, we had these great victories and we've been on the defensive, you know, ever since. We need to remind ourselves that we also need to have a positive strategic vision because, you know, we're right.
That was Sandra Goldschein from the American Civil Liberties Union. You've been listening to excerpts from three presentations given by leaders of the reproductive rights movement in the U.S. at a forum at Yale Law School in late September. It was sponsored by Connecticut Planned Parenthood and Law Students for Reproductive Justice and entitled What Remains of Roe v. Wade? Reproductive Justice After the Federal Abortion Ban. For Wings, I'm Melinda Tuhus in New Haven, Connecticut.
Supporters of Wings broadcasts include local stations, Suzette Cullen, and Genevieve Vaughn, author of Forgiving, A Feminist Criticism of Exchange. The Wings sound logo is from Libana's album, A Circle is Cast. You can listen or order CDs through the website www.wings.org. This is the Women's International News Gathering Service.
And this is CITR 101.9 FM. Little frog in the throat there, sorry. Broadcasting live from Student Union Building, Vancouver, British Columbia. The news is good. Jolly John, your host here, along with my junior Nimrod, son of legendary Captain Midnight.
Hi.
The good news. Hi, Nimrod.
Hi. Can't hear a thing on the headphones.
Oh, don't you know said you had the things working.
Well, it was working, but when you're on, okay, it negates my mic.
Okay, stop complaining. Stop complaining. Don't use them then. Okay, good news, folks. Asteroid 2007 TU-24 passing through the northern skies tonight, tomorrow, and the next day will not hit the Earth. I repeat, asteroid 2007 TU-24 will not hit the Earth. It will only be 554,000 kilometers away, and so it will miss planet Earth. Aren't you glad to hear that? You're not? That's too bad.
Disregard the how and when with whom. You amuse yourself. Encourages bad behavior.
The Duke, as was appropriate, held himself in high regard, and therefore considered himself in need of encouragement. He expected the people of Madrid render him this service. And as a convenient setting for achievement of this end, he established the Cabaret of the Seven Devils. This is what happened.
Tired of the past for diversion at the Carnival Palace at San Diego de Cordona. Sick and tired of the past for diversion at the Carnival Palace San Diego de Cordona. So, so, so lucky to have him there in the first place.
And he certainly was in the first place.
The Duke of Medina Sidonia himself made up his own mind when he must go back to the capital, which was soon, and which I hate, he would take his exercise in the town.
The evening in question was just another moonless Monday.
The evening in question was a moonless Monday. His own purse. The evening in question was a moonless Monday. And carrying his own purse. And carrying his own purse.
With only one valet, only one, but by far the best swordsman, and carrying his own purse, the Duke marched into the least auspicious tavern, tossed a silver bag whom he assumed was the proprietor, and said, or barked, I mean, "This establishment will now serve my purposes. And I should like it to be known as the Cabaret of the Seven Devils. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Oh, they are the fiery furnaces.
That's wild and crazy, Lim Nimrod.
Cabaret of the Seven Devils. I think that's on Granville Street somewhere.
Is there a cabaret with that name?
Yeah, I'm getting you loud and clear now.
Oh, good. How about you? Can you hear yourself?
No.
Well, I hear you.
I hear it, but it's kind of being filtered through what sounds like a submarine monitor of
some
kind.
Oh, submarine.
That's all right. So as long as it's not breaking up on your headphones.
No, you sound fine. Yep.
Yeah, well, you sound fine, too, because you're a pro, man. I look to you for inspiration, for guidance, not my dad, you know, my dad.
Legendary broadcaster J.B. Shane. Yeah, I don't blame you.
He always says to me, he says, hey, Nimmy, when you get to do the show with John, get him to mention me. You know, so like when I say my dad, so he can hear his name and feel, you know, important in that. Because he does listen, and I get a memo from him, you know, about how bad I've been on the air and all that crap.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
But you know all about that. Anyway, we are here on a moonless Monday.
That's right.
It looks like it may... Maybe it'll snow tonight.
Yeah, maybe.
Let's hope.
We've got snow already up in Burnaby Heights.
Yeah, easy for you. I have nothing in the West End.
There is a moon, actually, but it doesn't come up till midnight or later.
Oh, what's the good of that, then?
The moon's going to be very close to Venus and Jupiter in the morning sky just before sunrise in the next few days.
Oh, joy.
February 1st.
I'll get up early at that time and watch it. By the way...
Is it time?
Oh, I think a very important earth-shattering event is happening in the U.S. of A.
That's
as
right.
we speak. And so being a broadcasting outlet, CITR, located at 101.9, just to get it straight, you know, don't get us confused with with those people down the hall, Dean and Hatch, but there is this is the I imagine that we're probably losing a lot of listeners right now, not because we just came on the air, we usually do that anyway, but because everybody is tuned in to a earth-shattering State of the Union address.
That's right.
By the United States President of America, the United States of Anxiety. And I think we can probably tune him in on the... you got the monitor set up?
I do, yes.
So we won't be able to do the entire speech, unfortunately. I know a lot of people want
it. Just excerpts.
But excerpts, so you'll be well informed as to what the U.S. President has to say at this particular
time. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we now take you to the State of the Union address, which is already underway.
After 100,000 miles on the longest carrier deployment in recent history, the proliferation of deadly weapons remains a serious danger. And anyone in the world, including the Arab world, who works and sacrifices for freedom, remain dangerous. With all the tools of diplomacy, law enforcement, intelligence, and finance, we are working with a broad coalition of nations that understand the threat. The prophet Isaiah is on the trail of the terrorists. Where the dictator built palaces for himself, he called us from the center of Baghdad, not to brag, but to tell us he loved us. Our mission continues to undermine the appeal of peace. Any person, organization, or government that supports, protects, or harbors terrorists has a loyal friend in the United States of America. And we will defend the Taliban of the United States. We have difficult work to do in Iraq. All of you, all in this generation of our military, have taken up the highest calling of history, the cold murder of children, and that is your direction tonight. After service in the Afghan and Iraqi theaters of war, America and our coalition is a grave danger to the civilized world. The use of force has been and remains America's tradition. And this much is certain. Your country is complicit in the murder of the innocent and equally guilty of terrorist crimes. We continue to help many terrorists and the camps where they trained. We are hunting down free nations. Yet all can know, friend and foe alike, that our nation has a mission, that September the 11th would be the beginning of the end of America. But it is worth every effort. Yet we also have dangerous work to complete. As I speak, a special operations task force led by the 82nd Airborne involved in committing or planning terrorist attacks against the American people will finish what we have begun.
CITR Radio has been carrying portions of the State of the Union Address from the President? Really? Nimrod, did you hear that? Did you hear what he said?
I heard what he said, man, yeah. I think he could be reelected on that, but right. He's not running, you know.
That's right, he's not. Oh, well. Okay, well, there you go. It's getting just after 6 o'clock, and this is Radio Radio here at Radio Radio CITR.
You love.
I hate the way you love. Pre-Valentine Day sentiment there. The Kills goes back to No Wow, fine album about 2 years ago, and a new one very, very soon. So everything is working here.
Well, were they originally The Killers and they had to change their name?
Oh, The Killers. No, The Kills. No. I mean, it's hard, you know, what do you call a band nowadays? All the good ones have been taken, but there's still a lot
of... Oh, there's lots, you know, I'm sure. Like,
how about Fallout Boy? did you take the bus to
yeah.
I was going to say the bus to work. This isn't work. This is love. This is a labor of love.
It is. Yeah, I did. I took the 135.
You know,
and then I got on the 44, and the bus driver pulled away so fast, I smashed my leg into one of the bars in there. You know,
you put up your turn up your trouser for a sec. Let me take a look at that. I have medical training.
No, I didn't. I swore at the bus driver, but he didn't hear me.
Good.
Just as well, because you know, he would have kicked me off.
Well, he would have got the taser cops on board.
Yeah.
You know, that doesn't look too bad.
No, I'll be okay.
Gangrene maybe in about 2 hours, but you'll be home before then.
Good, good.
So, TransLink.
TransLink.
I don't know who the new body of bureaucrats appointed by Gordo to be the decision makers for our local people transportation system, but things are moving, if not all the buses, hence the very helpful recorded, and they call her not the announcer, but the annunciator. Have you ever heard that term?
No.
Annunciator. I guess because she speaks very clearly. It's a robotic female voice, cold, grim sounding. and you hear the names of the streets along some routes. Now, it's not on every bus route. They're trying it out. And so that the driver doesn't have to shout out, Blenheim coming up, but then he never does anyway.
They don't do that anyway.
No, I mean, people generally know, and you would ask the bus driver, can you let me know when we get to Waterloo?
sorry, I forgot.
Right. Well, we just happen to be out at UBC now. Right. You'll have to go back. So on some of the buses that go down Broadway, they have the annunciator, and then she would call out, Waterloo Street. Or Blenheim Street. I suppose it's real helpful, you know, for some people. But come on, you trans stinkers, get a real personable voice, male or female, to impart those street names with some civic passion here, some pride here in Sam Coover. Now, Fred and Kathy are available, we hear, but they are in Hawaii. Might I propose for all our trans stinkers out there, my good friend and the friendliest voice in Vancouver radio history, not Red, not Fred, but Long John Tanner. Would you just try one for me? Just say we're coming up to Waterloo and how you would do that. I'm putting you on the spot. I know that. But, hey, man, you're a pro. You can do it.
Can we have some musical accompaniment?
If you like.
Okay. I don't know if you've ever tried to ride the number 22 or 2 on Cornwall on the weekend. I was waiting 15, 20 minutes at the bus stop for the bus. So, hey, bus riders, next stop is Waterloo.
Waterloo, the scene of a famous battle and a famous song by Johnny Horton.
Yeah.
We'll be stopping there almost immediately.
Roll on oblivion as you get on the bus.
Or just roll one.
Roll on oblivion. We live in outer space. Roll on, southern gentlemen. And your Bonaparte ways. No need to get philosophic when you're the sharpest teeth. Feeling fabric, fell out of vogue in the new century. Throw it out on the table in $1 bills. I'm not feeling so stable.
chimney line. You got your orders, I never got mine. Roll on the podium, fuller than new wine. Rolling down Main Street where I'm an alibi and hard to find. Out in the streets in the chill of the night, as thick as thieves, my lover and I, as thick as thieves, my lover and I.
I'm stuck in the number 22. Roll on Oblivion from Radio Radio. Jason Collette here at CITO.
Jason Cubitt? Jason Collette.
Collette, yeah. Okay. No, not.
I get a lot of you know, like Jasons and Joshes all mixed up. There's too many Jasons and Joshes in the world. You know, you're going to have a baby. Don't name him or her Jason or Josh. You know, we have enough of them around. But they're beautiful names. I mean, that's not a slang.
No. I mean, you would never do that.
If we have a Josh or a Jason listening, nice name, man.
Yeah,
nice name.
Really cool.
Name, very cool name.
By the way, we did mention that asteroid that's not going to hit the Earth. And there was another asteroid, WD5, was supposed to hit the planet Mars.
Or there was
a chance of it hitting Mars, but that's not happening.
So instead of Mars, it's going to hit us?
No, this is a different asteroid. January 30th was one that possibly would hit. It had a 4% chance of hitting Mars. Now it has like a 1 in 1,000 chance or something. So that's out of it. But if you are an astronomer out there and the sky is clear, you might look to the northern skies. Tonight, it's between Pegasus and Cassiopeia, but it is magnitude 11, so you will need a telescope to see asteroid 2007 TU-24.
Why don't you hire yourself out as a traveling astronomer, and with you, because you have the accoutrements, you have the telescope, right?
Right.
Still have that, and go around to, you know, like people can hire you on particular nights where they really want to see it properly. You'll get a lot of calls from the British properties. They'll be holding parties there, and a guest astronomer and CITR air personality Long John Tanner will be showing the night sky. Only $10 a visit. Drop in, get to look at all. Think about it, man. We could make money, man. We could do it.
Can we wait till summer? It's too cold out doing it now.
Anything you say. Well, it's supper time, and
what's on the menu,
Robert? What do you got there? What have you got there, Robert?
Polo is a dead rabbit.
A dead. Oh no. Shall we cook it?
I don't want it raw.
Well, there's another one.
Oh, another one.
It's one of those polystyrene boxes. That's all. Takeaway.
Teflon.
Oh, there's some chips in there. If you didn't really want to finish the chips, that's unusual. I've been walking for hours. Over a dusty door, shining.
many photos of food. Slightly microwave. It's a Methodist hall. No smoking, no dogs. Looks pretty grim in the Methodist hall. Despite a poster which says not here.
Oh, CITR 101.9. Here we are. It is a beautiful day. It's cold. It's crisp. Mm-hmm. Ain't raining. It may snow tonight. Don't know. That is the voice of a bona fide British genius, eccentric, not that eccentric, really a very, very cool gentleman named Robert Wyatt. Has had many albums out. Founded the Soft Machine before I was born, but you were around at that time.
Hmm.
Plays keyboards, plays everything, has influential friends like Finn Manzanera playing on that and different. That's just a ballad. He sings in Spanish and Italian. He has been in a wheelchair for the last probably 40 years of his life. He is 78 years of age. He is going strong, and he has a great sense of humor and a very beautiful soul, Robert Wyatt, and
the album 78.
And the album is called Comic Opera.
Huh.
Comic Opera, and we'll be playing more of that. There's different stuff on there. That's just a little supper time ditty for those who are doing the rabbit stew tonight.
Yeah.
It's coming up to near 6:30. One of those few time checks, and we will go back. We've had a lot of calls saying, "Can you? We don't have a cable. We can't afford it. Can you give us more of Bush's? Well, we will of Bush's
State of the Union address.
State of the undress.
Really?
Whenever, and we'll be doing that in a while. Okay.
Something to do with rabbits. When you're cooking rabbits, you're supposed to snip the left. Is it the left or the right leg? You're supposed to snip the muscle or something. I was reading about that. Edgar Casey mentioned that.
Well, Edgar Casey would mention that. But how would I, a vegan, know that?
I don't know.
Do you eat rabbit? Rabbit stufato, the Greek dish?
Not lately.
No. When's the last time? When you go down to Jericho and skin them and cook them right there in the springtime? You're waiting for that? Are you a carnivore?
Oh, Nimrod. You know, yeah, well, there you go.
What
can I expect? 29 after the hour of
I already
it
said
is.
That, man.
Did you? I missed that. Okay, well, I'd better tell folks that they are listening to CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver. We're broadcasting live and in stereo. We're streaming, and there'll be a podcast available in the not-too-distant future. But right now, you probably read about this in the paper, Black Mountain have a new CD out called In the Future, and we're going to play one of the tracks from that.
It's getting generally raves in the international
reviews.
Press in England and in New York and all of that, so
yeah.
They're on the map. And
they
this could be their big commercial breakthrough, like they really care. But
right. Now, this doesn't feature Stephen McBean, who is the lead vocalist. It features Amber Weber, who also does vocals. So let's check out this track here now for your perusal.
CITR.
Psychedelic.
Thank you.
Black Mountain on Radio from their latest CD. That was called Queens Will Play. Now, apparently the band rehearsed for about a month, and they headed into the Hive recording studios in Burnaby, where they brought sleeping bags and toothbrushes and set up camp for 2 weeks, apparently. Yeah, no, that's right. And according to Amber, who sang lead on that, she said they put in 16-hour days and basically didn't see any sunlight for that time. And it was so, so awesome, she says.
No sunlight for all that time. You know. Well, yeah. Of course, you could have gone maybe to, well, I was thinking... That sounds awfully familiar. Sounds like maybe an Icelandic band would do something like that. They would go to some outpost where there was no light.
We hope to be talking to Jeremy Schmidt, the keyboard player down the road, about what they're up to. And that was called In the Future, Black Mountain. Check it out. It's good local stuff, and I'm sure they're going to be playing somewhere along the way soon. We're getting closer to our spaceman, Michael Strainick, with our UFO report. That's coming up in the next 5 minutes or so here at CITR.
By the way, the listenership would be very impressed if they just saw what you were drinking. Seriously, I'm very, very, being, you know, real healthy. You know, my dad got me on that. You had a smoothie that was made with, it would look beautiful.
Oh,
you
yeah.
didn't offer me a taste, but that's okay.
Well, you don't want to drink out of the same thing I'm drinking out of. It's got yogurt in it.
Yeah.
It's got the really good Arvand yogurt in it,
Arvand
which is
yogurt.
Some of the best yogurt.
Oh, it's wonderful.
You got to get the plain yogurt that doesn't have sugar, just the basic stuff, right, the culture.
But if you look at a lot of plain yogurts and you look at that, they always say sugar, 5 grams.
Oh, I know. They put sugar and vanilla and all this other crap in it. You got to really search it out to find the stuff with no sugar in it
if you're buying a yogurt. Does Arvand have
no sugar? No, Arvand doesn't have sugar in it.
Do you know that for a fact?
Yeah, well, I've read what it says on the outside.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
You got to read the outside.
Oh.
Anyway, my smoothie has papaya, dates, a banana, and frozen strawberries and blueberries.
And then you added a little bit of that Starbucks
No.
Hey, everywhere you look, there's another one opening up, even though they say that they have to probably cut back. Here at UBC downstairs in the sub-building main floor, we've heard plans afoot for one in the sub-basement. Now the caffeine giant wants to target younger coffee lovers. That could be you. Customer base is changing. Younger clientele is now being courted, like real young. Kids, coffee mugs, an indicator. You get them younger, you hook them. Sugar, caffeine, CDs. It's about brand loyalty. As the kids grow into macchiato-loving adults, the most vulnerable are at risk as they can't sense the marketing process aimed at them, just like television shows. Starbucks says their efforts are simply designed to foster that loyalty to Starbucks at an early age, so as you grow up, Starbucks will be an important part of your life, at least your morning. The Coffee Association of Canada, and we thank them for the grant for today's program here at CITR, Radio, said the industry is merely recognizing the fact that young people like to hang and chill. I love their use of words. Hang and chill. Cool. Out in their coffee house. The small taste of caffeinated days to come. There's the mom buying her 9 or 10-year-old a double macchiato while she goes for decaf. Say thank you, dear, to the nice barista. And
Thank you.
That's it. I think we got a call coming through. We'll take that call. But in the meantime, I think you got some music for us. An oldie, but a goodie. The year was 1970-something. And we know him as Don Van Vliet. Others know him as...
72, Captain Beefheart.
Sun's all hotting in a rotten heart. Swamp's all rotten and stinking. Vegetation's hot. Sleeping in a bayou on a old rotten cot. Can't find my kind of folks having fun. I have to run, run. Spot.
ground. Mosquitoes and moccasins are stepping all around. Afraid I'm gonna get hit.
Here's the captain. I don't know. He was in poor health for some time. My dad said he was, the last time he heard, he was living in a trailer in the Mojave, no, in the California desert, somewhere near Death Valley with Jan, his wife, who takes good care of him. And he had a lizard who I think since died, a pet lizard.
Really?
But that goes back a long time. And,
a Komodo?
No, not a Komodo, John. No, just a little pet lizard named Gus or something.
Oh, right.
And and he's been doing paintings and stuff. But I heard his health was not very good, so we don't really know what he's up to. But there is a bona fide genius, and he amalgamated blues and rock and his own vocabulary musically and lyrically to produce something wondrous back in those days. And this, probably the most accessible of Captain Beefheart's albums were these two, which are on one CD if you have a chance to pick it up. See it used at Zulu quite a bit, so grab it. Captain Beefheart and the Magic Band, Spotlight Kid / Clear Spot. So you get two CDs on one. Both good, although I think the Clear Spot is definitely the highlight. Enough of me. We have somebody more important to attend to right now. The man who has seen and tells what he has seen.
His name is Michael Strainick, and now it's time on CITR's Radio for our UFO report. Hello, Michael Strainick.
Hello, John, and hello, Mighty Hunter Nimrod.
Oh, yes, of course. The history of my name.
The grandson, the great-grandson of Noah.
Noah, is that Noah's Ark?
Yeah.
Well, I asked my dad, why did you name me Nimrod, and he said I didn't. Anyway, go on.
Okay.
On to more important things.
All right.
Okay, Michael, so what have you got in the world of UFOs for us right now?
Well, what we've got here is one of the biggest we've had in a very long time. This one is outshadowing the O'Hare Airport by a lot. This has already caused two Larry King shows and one O'Reilly Factor show on CNN. and thousands of radio and TV shows. And we're going to head down to Texas, a little town called Stephenville. And there is so much going on. What I'm going to have to give you is a shortened version of about 1% of it. Okay, what was interesting is this story broke 2 weeks ago while we were doing the show, although it had been going on for a long time before that. Okay, I'm going to quote some things from the original report. Stephenville, Texas, several dozen people, including a pilot, a county constable, and business owners, insist they saw a very large, silent object with bright lights flying low and fast. Many people reported seeing fighter jets chasing it with afterburners on. Yeah, people here around here wonder what it is, because this is the Bible Belt and everyone's afraid it's the end times, said Steve Allen, a pilot and freight company owner, who said the object he saw was a mile long and a half mile wide. It was positively absolutely nothing from these parts. Federal officials insist there's a logical explanation, don't they always? But locals swear it was larger, quieter, faster, and lower than any airplane. They also said that the lights on the object changed configuration. People in several other towns who had reported seeing it over several weeks gave similar descriptions. Machinist Ricky Sorrell saw a flat metallic object hovering at about 300 feet over a pasture behind his home. He said he had seen the object several times and viewed it through his rifle's telescopic lens, and said it was very large and without seams, nuts, bolts, or rivets. Major Carl Lewis of the 301st Fighter Wing said no F-16s or any other aircraft were flying at that time. Two other air bases nearby said the same thing. So that's how it all started. A few other little details have come out. Most people that saw it for between 3 and 15 minutes. The pilot said it covered in seconds a distance his Cessna takes 20 minutes to travel. Now, last Wednesday, it took them a while for their plausible deniability to kick in, but the same spokesman from the airbase said, "Oh, we made a mistake. There were jets in that area at that time. We had 10 F-16s on a training flight." Well, then MUFON moved in. Now, MUFON is the world's largest civilian UFO organization. I was their Canadian national director for a dozen years. And they had been gathering reports. Their final report has not yet come out. They immediately filed Freedom of Information documents for the radar tapes, and you have to do that quickly because they only keep them for 30 days. So if nobody questions it, they just erase it. So they got that done. In one case, this huge, monstrous object hovered over a small town for 30 minutes. It was obviously seen from the town, but it was also seen by people at a distance hovering over this town. Now, there are rumors of witnesses being harassed by persons unspecified. And the kicker here for me is the area where the F-16s supposedly were is miles from where the event happened. And that's really what it is. This is a very easy one for people to check out. Just do a search on Stephenville UFO or Texas UFO, and you will get dozens and dozens of hits of some very, very interesting and up-to-date information, but this is a biggie.
Yes, and I've been reading this information you sent me on the email, Michael, and it is quite fascinating stuff. So what was the name of the town again?
Stephenville, S-T-E-P-H-E-N-V-I-L-L-E.
How far from Crawford, Texas, is it?
close enough where they suggested maybe that they had been sending up Thai lanterns, and then they scrambled the jets for that, but that doesn't seem to be holding up too well.
Oh, I think Laura Bush must have just, you know,
yes,
had a conniption at that point.
Yeah, and the daughters were probably drunk.
Oh, and abducted.
And, I hope so, yes. Okay. But what's interesting about this is people are coming forward to talk, and with the conditions in the U.S. these days, people are afraid to talk about anything. They just don't want anybody looking at them for any reason, because let's face it, the U.S. is no longer a democracy.
Well, thank you, Michael Strainick, our UFO expert here on Radio Radio, for that intriguing report from UFOs over Texas.
And now, Michael, you can go back to watching Bush's State of the Union address now.
Yeah, I wouldn't miss it for the world.
Okay, we have excerpts of that, and we'll be imparting that to the listenership. Thank you, Michael.
My pleasure.
Thanks, Michael. Keep your eye on the sky.
Always.
That's where the future is. And in the future, we will all be looking up constantly. Here's a guy who knows more about the future than almost anybody.
In the future, everyone will have the same haircut and the same clothes. In the future, everyone will be very fat from the starchy diet. In the future, everyone will be very thin from not having enough to eat. In the future, it will be next to impossible to tell girls from boys, even in bed. In the future, men will be super masculine and women will be ultra feminine. In the future, half of us will be mentally ill. In the future, there will be no religion or spiritualism of any sort. In the future, the psychic arts will be put to practical use. In the future, we will not think that nature is beautiful. In the future, the weather will always be the same. In the future, no one will fight with anyone else. In the future, there will be an atomic war. In the future, water will be expensive. In the future, all material items will be free. In the future, everyone's house will be like a little fortress. In the future, everyone's house will be a total entertainment center.
In the future.
Oh, really?
Love. Oh. Love will conquer all. In the future, all will be just fine. Don't worry about it, because if we do have a future, however dark, bleak, frustrating, chaotic, uncertain, frightening, we'll always have to see us through to whatever end. CITR 101.9 FM.
FM.
The future will pass, as it always does, as it must.
It will.
It shall.
Take your vitamin E now.
Baby drag a girl singing in your dreams, lifted up a mini skirt. Glistening lights, decaying city, broken silhouettes against the sky. Driving a car with your lurching heart, there must be millions more like this.
This is Radio Radio, and a couple of minutes before the hour, CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting live in stereo from Vancouver, British Columbia. And that's actually an old Canadian selection by a band called LSD 49.
How old is that?
Well, it's about 10 years old. About when I first started doing shows here at CITR, I think I had a shift at 8 o'clock in the morning. It progressed to later hours,
which
was
nicer. You were a morning
man. I was a morning guy. Then I moved to noon. But anyway, when I first started, that band was out, LSD 49. And from Truth and Explosions, we had something called MiG 25. You remember those jets?
Very, yes. Very, very moody.
It was.
Well, now, kids, Professor Richard McGregor, University of Cumbria, suggests workplaces the world over use music to create happy and productive employees. Hear, hear. Quote, there's clear evidence that a happy workforce is a productive one, raises workers' spirits, so put on the radio, says the good prof, or even a CD. But not just any music will do, no siree, as Professor McGregor cautions against negative-sounding music, citing the Sex Pistols' Anarchy in the UK, Public Enemy's Fight the Power, and the Smiths' Heaven Knows I'm Miserable Now, as rendered beautifully and cynically by pop's favorite miserablest, Morrissey. Professor advocates background music that everyone can hear and cause... because it leads to an immediate changing the atmosphere and encourages creativity and relaxation. Amongst his recommendations is the riveting Whistle While You Work from Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. Whistling, hey, it does work. I'm happy. I'm relaxed. I'm creative.
Oh,
my meat is murder. Headmaster Ritual, nasty take on the British education system. Morrissey, Marr, Mike Joyce, and Andy Warwick are talking. They're talking of a reunion of sorts. They were offered Coachella about a year ago, actually, and they were offered well over a couple $1 million, and they said no. Lots of acrimony between Lord Morrissey and cohorts, but you never know. Wow. Sometimes that acrimony, you know, in the face of that of big moolah, that can sort of dissipate, and so there may be a Smiths reunion. Hmm. And some people say, no, let's keep the memories of when. Anyway, speaking of Morrissey, did you know that that British lonely hearts are the most dissatisfied, shy, and serially single people in Europe? More than a third of Britons, 35%, are miserable being alone. And Morrissey, you know, a lot of inspiration he could take from this, and has, compared with just 17% of Dutch singles. Bonnie would tell you that. It seems that the traditional British reserve still holds true. In the League of European Singles, the British and Swiss men are likely to be the most reluctant to put themselves forward and get it up, so to speak. The Dutch are the most confident. Psychiatrist Dr. Victoria Lukacs says men suffer from lack of confidence because they are under more pressure to be the one to make the first move. Heaven knows they're miserable now. Anyway.
Really, darling? I say.
Don't touch me there. Not now.
No.
It's after 7 o'clock, and at 7:30, may we invite you to join us for a new show that began 2 weeks ago, and it is called Radio Free Guck. Find out what?
Guck.
Oh, I thought... Find out why at 7:30 tonight with Gary and Guck.
And of course, Gavin Walker's in at 9 o'clock with the jazz show.
He's always in at 9 o'clock. Is he on every night, by the way?
No, just Monday. Just Monday nights. By the way, if you remember 2 weeks ago on the show, we played Walk on the Wild Side.
We did. That was the not the Lou Reed song, but the song Elmer Bernstein wrote for the movie Walk on the Wild Side, sung by Mick Harvey of the Bad Seeds.
Well, it came out in 1962, the movie. I Googled it when I got home and found that out. And you know who was in that movie? Amazing movie.
Lawrence Harvey.
Yes, but there was a whole host of ladies.
Capuccino.
Jane Fonda.
Ann Baxter.
Barbara Stanwyck.
Yeah, God, really. keep that up. Everybody's going to say you're gay. Anyway, thank you for that information there. It's most interesting.
You're welcome. And by the way, the vitamin E comment was and you might want to tell your dad here, a legendary broadcaster, Captain Midnight.
Oh, you don't have to say that. Go on.
Elderly people do keep their vim and vigor with vitamin E. It's an antioxidant, as you know, Nimrod. It can protect tissue from damage, and it's also involved in the formation of red blood cells.
Well, so, we need that.
And
even though I'm just, I'm a young dude, I take vitamin E. I take 400 units of it a day. You don't take any because you eat so healthy.
I eat healthy, and aloe vera has also got a lot of good vitamin E in there.
Aloe vera? I never could say that. Which island is that?
Yeah, really. It's the new pornographer's island, I think.
Yes, I know it was late. We were greeting the sun before long. And you live with someone, I live with somebody too. Leave it there for safekeeping. Custom come down. On the walls of the day, in the shade of the sun, we rode down. Another vision of us
we were the challengers of the unknown. Be safe, you say. Whatever the mess you are, you're mine. Okay. That is the custom. I'm down.
New Pornographers at CITR. Well, that CD has been out for a little while now, but
came out in the summertime last year.
Yes, it did. So that was the title track, Challengers. And yeah, there you go. I'm not sure what they're up to now. I've just, you know, can't keep track of these things. But,
well, you don't have to, man. You don't have to.
Oh, good.
It's cool what you're doing. You don't have to. You don't have to think about it. You don't have to do anything about it. You know, they will be fine. They will continue along in their career, and you will be informed upon any of the changes in the lineup or any plans or any tours.
Will
that,
I?
Yeah, you will.
Oh, okay.
You're on the list. By the way, did you notice who was walking around in the hallways?
No.
Your old friend and my dad's old friend, TDM.
Oh, you're kidding. You know, well, Terry D?
Well, he lost his gig at whatever season.
City?
Well, Chum, I think.
Yeah.
They were bought out by some other
City
group.
TV.
City TV,
yeah.
And so they laid off everybody, and he's got a lawsuit going against him. I bring it up because you and my dad are real good friends, speak highly of him. I don't know the guy, but so he lost his gig. So where is he? He's wandering around here. I said, "Hi, Terry." He said, "When can I see Bryce?" You know, so he wants a gig. And I said, "Well, look, there's no money in it, man. There's no money in it, man. What are you going to do?"
Yeah, you got to pay for parking.
Well, exactly.
Bus,
yeah,
and,
yeah. And he had that incredulous look on his face, and he said, "They want me to do it for free?" Well, I said, "Well, Long John does."
You see, know. It happened to him. He turned 65 last year, and they claim that he was, you know, over the hill. So there, what can I say?
Okay, so toilet paper. Tom York's rocking toilet paper. You've heard? No.
Tell me.
He's planning to have toilet paper made, proclaiming Radiohead the savior of rock and roll. 39-year-old man says he is used to hearing critics and fans bestow the prestigious title on the band. He wants to create his own unique tribute. I've heard it said that we are the saviors of rock and roll, so I'm going to have it printed on toilet paper very soon and marketed, and you can download it or something.
Download it.
I don't know. He also revealed that he can't believe the fuss that was created by the group decision, choosing to to download for their latest In Rainbows CD, and insisted it's all rubbish. He added, "We would have never thought that the whole thing would create such a fuss. In Britain, it's all over the primetime news, or was. 60-year-old stock exchange tycoons are congratulating us on our fabulous business idea, and cynics imply we plotted an ingenious advertising coup. That's all rubbish."
Speaking of which...
Thank you. just turn and say, trying to get out of the night. I'm sticking to you because there are no others.
There's Radiohead from Radio and Rainbows.
On Radiohead
and Radio. And that was All I Need. A space shuttle, Atlantis, will be launching on February 4th. If you have high-speed internet access, you can watch that on NASA TV on your computer. Watch the space shuttle Atlantis.
We should take Donovan with them up there, you know, and he can do a song called Atlantis or something. Lots of have you noticed all the stars in the sky?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you've been talking about them, but have you noticed the stars on the ground? Hollywood North is crawling with celebs. I get this from Fran. She tells me everything.
Oh, no.
Yeah, she does. Oh, no. I just, you know, because I try to get hold of you, and you're always out swimming or something. And she said, and she talks to me, and she's a big movie fan, as you know. She said that you went to a party over the weekend with a lot of workers who from the film industry. Is that right?
That's right, yeah.
And they worked on Smallville or something.
Smallville and Aliens in America.
And then a lot of other productions.
Right.
But they were going later on, and you joined them to a party that was to be honored with a visitation from the great man, Keanu, who's in town doing The Day the Earth Stood Still.
Right.
But you went along, and she said that you came back and that you slagged his, at the party, you slagged his band Dog Star, I heard. True or false? No?
True.
You also chastised him for chain smoking. Now, you don't do that, man. Well, you can,
well,
but
he was blowing smoke in my face.
I would have left the Dog Star stuff alone.
Yeah, I guess I should have.
My dad is going through another one of his episodes of celebrity stalking. That is, they stalk him, claims that he sees Jennifer Aniston, she's in town, everywhere, and that she wants him.
Oh.
Seriously, the man has lost touch with any semblance of reality. And I want to thank you, John, for taping the SAG event on Channel 6 last night. That's the Screen Actors Guild. But what do we get? No actual award ceremony, capped by an eloquent acceptance speech by Best Actor, the great Daniel Day-Lewis, and his heartfelt tribute to Heath Ledger. No, instead, we in Hollywood North just get the bozo Ryan Seacrest and his cohorts gushing and grinning and saying such well-worn platitudes like, "She's so hot! Wow, it's all so glamorous. Does Javier look hot or what?" Thinking that Bardem, who won Support Actor for No Country, an old man wished he brought along his cattle prod gun.
I love that.
Yeah, so But did you say that Ryan Seacrest wasn't there?
Ryan was sick.
Oh, no.
Yes.
Well, I don't know if I'm going to watch the ceremony taping of the red carpet event last night, but I thank you for taping it anyway. Oh, Lindsay, you look so hot. Just out of rehab. The Ensemble Cast Award went to No Country for Old Men. Best Actress, Julie Christie for Sarah Polley's Away From Her. Some CanCon there. The amazing Daniel Day for Best Actor, There Will Be Blood. Support Actress, Ruby Dee from American Gangster, played Denzel's mom. Into the Wild was shut out, unfortunately, though Sean Penn's beautiful film got most nominations going in. And that's playing here downstairs at the UBC sub-building theater over the next couple of days. Worth catching if you haven't. Oscars are still in doubt. The dialogue is occurring. And George Clooney apparently is mediating. So, last week's Oscar nomination sadly overshadowed by same-day death of Heath Ledger. Seemingly an accident, heart attack a possibility, lots of meds scattered about, full story not yet known completely, but all indications it was not suicide. Ledger was due in Vancouver today to work on a new film, but that now is on hold. It's heartbreaking because Ledger was one of the finest actors under 40 with an incredible talent and potential. For those who, for whatever reasons, never saw his Academy Award nomination performance for Brokeback Mountain, rent it. Unless, of course, you're heavily homophobic. And then marvel at the amazing internal performance and gut-wrenching in Ledger's portrayal of desire and guilt, loneliness and longing. It was and will be a performance that will resonate in modern film history, guaranteed. Ledger was from Perth, which is, you've been to Australia, but you've never been to Perth. Nobody's been to Perth. People come from there, but nobody goes there. And it's almost like an outpost of Aussie individuality, very much removed from Sydney or Melbourne. Large artist colony who play by their own rules, and best-known band, the Triffids. But Ledger, who was a music lover, was a big fan of a little-known Perth musical renegade named Luke Steele, who recorded under the moniker The Sleepy Jackson, two albums of cinematic chamber pop music. We'll be right back. guys, Sleepy Jackson from Perth, Australia, one of Heath Ledger's favorite bands from his hometown. Rest in peace, Mr. Heath. It was too soon, Jack, I swear. It's almost that time. The man, Guck. Guck. The world according to Guck.
Gack.
Oh, is it Gack or Guck?
Radio Free Gack.
Okay, well, it'll take us a while to get used to that. We will get used to it because we're so used to saying Tiramisu or Karasu. Anyway, thank you for joining us. I think John has some parting words. Read the weather forecast because it does impact. And are we going to get a dump of snow tonight, Long John? He's getting into his Wayne Cox attire to even just to do a forecast on a radio. He doesn't look at all like Wayne Cox, does he? No. But he'd do a better job. You should be on there doing the weather, John. You're much more friendlier. Wayne, I don't believe him. Yeah, someone I don't believe him. Okay, good night from us. Anything you want to add, or are you playing with the number two machine again?
Oh, well, we're just playing around here. We're trying to get a little more of the State of the Union address here.
He's still on?
Oh, yeah, he's still on. Well, we got some tape delay here or something. Hold on. Wet snow is in the forecast. Cloud and snow tonight, wet snow tomorrow, and cloudy with chance of flurries on Wednesday. So,
good.
Yeah.
You like that.
That'll be fun, yeah. Hold on a sec here. We had the president's father here. Just a sec here.
Are you okay?
Weird.
You were in a trance or something.
Yeah, we'll be back in two weeks.
I don't want to mislead you. I'm very concerned about this situation.
It is your son, you know.
And we will continue to hunt down the enemy, the Iraqi people.
Oh, I guess that's all. Okay, see you in 2 weeks. Enjoy the snow.
Dear loyal listeners of CITR, our second annual funding drive could not have succeeded without you, and for that, we'd like to give out a big thank you.
Our goal this year was $10,000, and to date, we've raised $7,008. So, we're going to keep treading water in hopes of reaching that goal.
Avast, you salty sea dog!
That means if you've made a pledge or would still like to make a donation, you can still do so on our website. The address is www.citr.ca. Don't forget that you'll be, one, investing in better capital equipment for the station, which will facilitate better music production, DJing, and member use, and two, you'll be donating to the raddest station in town.
In addition, you'll still be able to pick up cool prizes or various things, including T-shirts, CDs, and friends cards.
Aye!
If you currently have prizes to pick up, you can stroll down to the station anytime you want and get them.
Aye, aye!
How come I don't get a pirate voiceover?
Hello, Micro. We're at 8,000 feet, perishing cold, and I'm bored stiff. What about putting on a hot gramophone record to cheer me up?
Hello? Hello?